You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today in studio, Shaheen Pasha, UMass Senior Journalism Lecturer and a columnist with the Daily Hampshire Gazette, and on the line, Larry Parnas, Investigations Editor with the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
This week, the Massachusetts Attorney General's office said it would look into allegations of labor law violations at Iron Horse Entertainment Group, which owns several prominent Western Mass music venues. This followed an NEPR report that included claims from nearly a dozen former employees. They said paychecks were late, they didn't receive overtime or earn sick leave. Former employees Lindsay Muslick and Callie C. say everything started and finished with IHEG owner Eric Schurer.
There is no HR department. There is no direct chain of authority or chain of command.
The chain of command is Eric.
As of this taping, Schurer has not responded to repeated requests for comment from us, but did tell Mass Live the complaints came from a few disgruntled former employees. Larry, many former workers say they were intimidated to come forward to complain about Schurer, who owns many properties in Northampton, for fear of retaliation. What's your take on this?
Well, gee, I can't get inside their heads, but he kind of is the only game in town for the music business. He also runs, you know, in a sense, a hospitality business in terms of the restaurant trade at the Iron Horse. You know, I think this is really a case of you ought to know your rights, but it can come at a cost to the individual worker if they don't feel backed up and supported. I think the fact that the AG's office has now acted on this or is going to act on this could reform some of the practices within that business.
Shaheen, if you look on social media, the response to these allegations, you know, many people said that this wasn't a surprise or a secret. Is it surprising to you that this has been allowed to go on for a while?
Actually, no. I mean, and if you also look at just the history of the Iron Horse and just the relationship with the owner, I mean, he's had, you know, controversies before when it came to actually musicians playing at his venues. There was a lot of criticism about the way he upheld his properties, about the pay-to-play sort of philosophy that he had with the musicians. So when it comes to his actual workers, I don't think anyone was surprised that there might be some controversy there as well.
We move on to Springfield, where Mayor Dominic Sarno vetoed a measure this week passed by the city council, which would look to improve voter turnout. The proposal calls for election officials to, among other things, send mailers to voters reminding them to go to the polls. And Sarno says that's not the city's job.
You know, this is what candidates are supposed to do. You know, that's what we do. I mean, we have to get our word out through working hard through our own mailings or radio, TV, print advertising.
The sponsor of the ordinance, Jesse Letterman, is urging his colleagues to override the veto at the council's next meeting. Shaheen, this comes in an election year where Sarno is up for another term. What about the timing?
I mean, I think the timing is very convenient. If you look at just the history of Springfield, you look at the voter turnout, it is very low. The preliminary elections in 2017 was 5.8%, something ridiculous. And I understand that, yes, it's the job of the candidates, but if you also have a constituency that's just not coming out to the polls, you need to, as a city, you need to make some effort to bring them out. So I think that the timing is really interesting. I think that it would make sense just from a voter perspective to actually do more to reach them.
Larry, both Letterman and Sarno say this ordinance can be a starting point for a larger discussion about voter turnout, but there's been a lot of acrimony between the council and the mayor. Do you see them actually sitting down to talk about this?
I'm sure they will to some degree. I mean, the council passed this 11-2, so they certainly could override this. But I think it's maybe the bigger question is, how do you build voter engagement with the city? Postcards may not be the right way to do it. They may help, but there's certainly some kind of civic institution that could take this on. It may not be government itself. There's a new state law that's going to help improve civics education. I think this is perhaps a job for an institution that is always looking to build its engagement with people, and that's the media business.
And Sarno actually mentioned that, Larry, in speaking with him this week.
So
that may be something, too, that they look for. Meanwhile, the Berkshire Mall in Lanesboro, Massachusetts, closed in May after years of struggles, including losing several big-name tenants. The owner also owes more than $900,000 in property taxes, and now local officials are moving to seize the building and land. Larry, you went on a bit of a field trip and checked out several other properties this particular developer owns and wrote a series about it in The Eagle. Did you see some similarities between what's going on in places like Michigan and Illinois and Lanesboro, Massachusetts?
Oh, I did indeed. The owner of this group that owns the Berkshire Mall and more than two dozen others around the country is just really an absentee owner in terms of maintaining and improving these properties. And that's left, particularly in the malls that are struggling, it's really left a lot of small businesses, and that means families and people really kind of getting by hand to mouth here, to just sort of suffer in limbo without any, you know, way to improve their businesses. So, I mean, I saw that firsthand and talked to dozens of people out there in seven states, 12 malls. So I really felt for them, but I think structurally they're kind of at the mercy of a company that's involved in real estate speculation more than it is in mall management. You know, city by city, these things are all at a different state. Some are doing okay. Others are in total collapse, and it then falls to the cities and towns and taxpayers to kind of clean up after it, and I think that really galls people.
And to that point, Shaheen, do cities and towns and states need to be more aware of these malls? I mean, it's no secret that the traditional shopping mall has really been struggling in the last 10 or 15 years.
Absolutely. I mean, you take a look at any sort of strip mall, I mean, you're seeing more and more empty, you know, fronts. And I think that that is a real view of the economic stability and the state of the economy in those towns. And I think that it is something that towns and cities and governments have to pay attention to, because that is in some ways foreshadowing, or actually not even foreshadowing, just plainly telling you what the economic situation is of the towns and cities and the people that are going to be their voters. So absolutely.
All right, Shaheen Pasha of UMass and the Daily Hampshire Gazette, and Larry Parnas of the Berkshire Eagle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast hub. Also, listen to Beacon Hill and 5, our weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.